Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith. Sports Radio WEEI. It will be an abbreviated Dale and Keith today as we've got Red Sox baseball. Game got rained out last night. Gee, I don't know why they didn't try to play that.
Tough game out there, or tough night weather-wise.
Did you see that Boston had a record rainfall amount that day yesterday?
It was disgusting.
Yeah, it was so
awful.
They are scheduled to play two today. 1 o'clock game, Chris Sale on the mound. A 7 o'clock game tonight with Hector Velasquez on the mound. And as part of the whole big pregame shebang, Rich Keefe makes his Red Sox radio debut today.
That's not true, Dale. We've done a lot of these.
But I'm trying to make it sound better.
Yeah, I know.
The people in Dallas, Maine are very excited
That's
to hear
right.
you today.
So we will be on part of the pregame show. Looking forward to that. Also, we normally do Kiefer Madness on Tuesdays at 12:30. Today,
that would not be possible today.
11:30.
Whoa.
We're bumping it up. It's a very important Madness that we have to get to.
Endgame spoilers?
I would never do that. I wouldn't do that to my worst enemy, Dale. That's the worst thing you could do to somebody. I did it once. I know you did.
Rossi.
And you even had the audacity to say not
to,
a spoiler. Yeah, you absolutely ruined it.
It wasn't something at the stature of Endgame.
No, it wasn't Endgame.
No,
it was a nine-part documentary series in which Dale said something that happened in episode 7 or 8. And he goes, no, that's not a spoiler.
Yeah, it's what? The staircase yeah. for people watching. Staircase. Anybody who watched it, if you know the verdict of the trial,
I know.
He gave that away before I started episode 1.
I screwed up.
Yeah, I know. The spoiler.
I apologize to you 1,000 times.
Well, Dale, what you do is if you saw Endgame today, and then if you spoiled it on the radio tomorrow, that would all... We talked about going viral by lighting Shime on fire.
Ow.
If you spoiled Endgame, that would also do it.
Let's just stop, because you know the listeners...
I'm not going to do it. Trust
no,
me.
No, I don't want
I would
anybody
never
to
do it.
We had a texter offer you and Rossi a private showing Wednesday night.
Where? In his house?
Well, I think...
I'm down.
He might have something to do with a movie theater.
Oh.
I was not invited.
Yes.
He said specifically, I was not invited, but you two
Good.
Lads were.
Oh, yeah, we'll go.
It's all right, Dale. I never get invited, so don't feel bad.
You and me, Shime.
All right, I'll go.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
Well, you got to find the text thing.
DM us.
Yeah,
give us a DM.
Call us. Call Shime right now. Give us a buzz. Give us a holler.
You would so go, wouldn't you?
Why not? Of course I would. I'm going Thursday. I feel like that was early
enough. You
might
go again.
But now that, oh yeah, for sure. There's all these screenings now on Tuesday, for God's sakes. So that's a little disconcerting.
One quick note about the Bruins. Bruce Cassidy has just told the media over at Warrior, no changes to the Bruins lineup for Game 7, so no David Backes tonight.
There's your first mistake.
I had a feeling coaches generally, when the team plays well, they don't say, you know what? Let's just flip this around a little
But they
bit.
Haven't played well in back-to-back games all series.
I understand.
So I would maybe go with... You need a little bit more, a little juice, a little bit more energy. Maybe, you know, put somebody into the boards, get the crowd invested. I think the crowd's going to want to help as much as possible tonight.
Yeah.
And I feel like David Backes could help you a little bit in that regard. But
Bruce
I know
Cassidy
he doesn't bring
said,
a whole lot
quote,
to the table.
Talking about his lineup, just feel the other night we played our best game. So he doesn't want to mess with
and
it.
And what are the chances they follow it up?
Well,
I feel like Backes could have helped them, so I don't like that. That's one key off the board.
So Backes and Wagner still out.
Yeah.
Nordstrom and Kuhlman remain in the lineup.
I have a feeling that bottom line is going to play 5 minutes. It's not going to be a lot of time for those guys, especially if it's a close game throughout, which I anticipate it being. I think it's going to be three-line hockey is what it's going to feel like tonight.
Well, we'll see how things work out. Now, the Celtics, on the other hand, we do know, will now be playing against the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Best player in the NBA.
Well, we had this discussion yesterday.
Yes.
As soon as our show ended and Glenn came through the door, the very first words out of his mouth was, Rich, you're right. See, I knew what he meant that time.
Yeah, that he did.
He agreed with you on Giannis Antetokounmpo.
On Giannis.
I was a little confused about the other thing.
Best player in the NBA. And don't let the fact that the Celtics beat the Bucks last year in the playoffs fool you. Like, they beat them without Kyrie Irving, without Gordon Hayward, the Scary Terry, the whole thing. And that's how the Scary Terry thing really got created, And it was the whole thing with the Drew Bledsoe love. Remember, because Terry Rozier was in Eric Bledsoe's head, and that was a matchup that Milwaukee could not afford to lose, and they did. Terry Rozier outplayed Eric Bledsoe. This series, though, is different. The Milwaukee Bucks are better. They're so much better than they were a year ago. Last year, they won, what was it, like 44 games in the regular season. This year, they won 60. They had Giannis a year ago, who was a really good player.
Second highest scoring average in the NBA, only to James Harden.
Yeah,
this year.
But he's the best player in the NBA. And that wasn't the case. Now, he was still the best player in that series, and the Celtics were able to, you know, beat him in seven games. But now he has sort of raised his game. He's on another level. You know, last night in a closeout game, he went for 41-9 and looked pretty easy doing it. But also some of the other pieces. So it's still Giannis and Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe from a year ago. But then it's guys like Brook Lopez, Mirotic, Ilyasova, George Hill. That's all different from last year when they were relying on fat Jabari Parker, old Jason Terry. It's a much different. Thon Maker is not on the team anymore. And I think they're going to get Malcolm Brogdon back. That's sort of up in the air, but I think he's going to be back for this series.
Best player in the series, obviously, is Antetokounmpo.
Yes.
Kyrie's second, right?
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
If you had both rosters, you were doing your draft.
Yeah, 100%.
Giannis would be one.
Yes.
Kyrie would be two.
Yes.
Then it gets interesting.
Then it really is interesting. If it's this Gordon Hayward that we're seeing, hey, wait a minute. He could be in the mix. I'm a big Chris Middleton fan. I think he's really good. So I think he could be up there. And then it's probably going to be a night-to-night thing. Like, Jason Tatum could look like the third best player in the series on certain nights, and then it might flip to somebody else on Milwaukee's side. You throw in the fact that Milwaukee has home court, which isn't as important as home court was last year, meaning I think Kyrie Irving can help you win a game on the road. They just won two games in Indiana on the road,
yep.
Whereas without Kyrie last year, they won one road game in the playoffs. So I think now it's a little bit more even. Also, just as another aside, Milwaukee has Mike Budenholzer now as their coach. Not, remember little Joe Prunty?
Yeah.
You wouldn't want coaching your team.
Was his first name really Little?
Yeah, little Joe Prunty.
Okay, yeah.
He was a little tiny guy. You put him in your pocket if you wanted. Hey, I don't think he commanded a lot of respect there from Milwaukee. So even the coaching matchup is improved from last year. But I really like Milwaukee. And I know you sort of mentioned careful what you wish for, because I think a lot of people were saying, hey, good, the 4 seed's better than the 3 seed because you'd rather face Milwaukee than Toronto. I don't know. Both are tough. I know the history of the Celtics in Toronto
is much more
significant than in Milwaukee. But the best player in the Eastern Conference, the best player in the NBA is rolling right now. And that's going to be really tough. And I know we have probably another week to preview this, but this is going to be good. The second round in the Eastern Conference is going to be great because all four of these teams are very good. They're all super talented. You get rid of the crap teams like Detroit and, you know, Brooklyn. Get rid of them. Second round in the Eastern Conference NBA is going to be awesome to watch.
Here's my meaningless speculation department, okay?
Oh, okay.
And that's all this is.
All right,
if the Bruins were to win tonight,
yeah,
my guess is that they would play Friday and Sunday at home.
Okay.
That's just a guess. And so I guess the Celtics could theoretically play Saturday, but maybe?
Well, no, I think Sunday because it's in Milwaukee.
So that's right. They're on the road.
Yeah, so it won't matter.
No, that's a good point.
I believe it'll be in Milwaukee on Sunday. That's some of the speculation because I guess if the Bucks were going to play Game 7 of their series against Detroit, it would have been Sunday. So the only thing that's like in stone, I think, is the NBA Finals. The other series, they'll slide up a little bit if they have to.
And
not dramatically.
Don't you wait for everybody to finish anyway? Like, you wouldn't want to have, like, if Columbus and Boston had swept their first round series, you don't want to start them and they're halfway through the second round before the first round is even done.
Yeah, not right away, but I think if you overlap like a Game 7 and a Game 1,
right,
or a Game 6 and a Game 1, I think they'd be okay doing that. But yeah, they're going to have a lot of time off. I mean, the Celtics are going to have, what, a week, and the Bucks are probably going to have just a day less than that. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this series, though, and this is one of those ones where I think early on I'm going to pick the Bucks, but the Celtics, the Gordon Hayward X factor is so significant. Like, if he plays well,
as we said the other day, he looked like he's completely back now.
And that's huge. I mean, him playing like that is just a different level, different dynamic. And you know what's also interesting is this team, and we've talked about it all year long, when they're missing one of their top eight players, and I think with the exception of Aaron Baines, because of you know what Aaron Baines does for the team and just his role, if they're missing one of those other guys, they're really good. Like they're undefeated without Jaylen Brown. They have a winning record without Kyrie Irving, which people always want to bring up. They have a winning record without Al Horford. In this first round, they didn't have Marcus Smart. The second round, it doesn't look like they're also going to have Marcus Smart. I wonder if he does come back, say they make it to another round, or even late in this series, if he's able to come back, does that in a weird way affect the rotation and affect those other guys? Because I think Terry Rozier and Jaylen Brown, they didn't put up the big points, but they didn't need to.
Terry Rozier, according to the defensive metrics, was the best defensive player in the series.
Yeah, they played the first round. I think he was the best defensive player in the playoffs.
He might have been.
I think he might have been.
I know he was in the series.
So those are the guys who were saying, all right, who does what Marcus Smart does? And my knee-jerk reaction was, well, nobody does. But those guys both stepped up defensively. And this round, I don't know what you do. I don't know what Brad Stevens does against Giannis. I think you might even see Semi Ojeleye in the series now, just because that guy looks like a brick S house. I think you get him out there. You get Al Horford, just because he's long. And I mean, Giannis is so unique. He could literally take the ball from half court, dribble once, and dunk.
And dunk from the top of the circle.
Or three-quarter court. Like yeah. He's insane. He is absolutely insane. And I guess you just maybe limit the other guys. I mean, Stevens is going to have his hands full with a matchup like that. And there was nobody close on Indiana that you even wanted to take away. I mean, I guess Bogdanovich was their leading scorer, but you look at Milwaukee, and they just have more guys that could score, including one of the best scorers in the league. Even though he can't shoot, and people are like, I can't shoot. We had the callers yesterday. He can't shoot. All right, well, then it's quite a tricky pulls when he scores 28 a night.
So you've got that series to think about, although you've probably got some time to think about it.
Yeah, you do. A little bit of downtime.
We might have a little time to set it up. But we'll talk about that if you'd like as well. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number as we get back to the calls with you guys. Gavin is up in Maine. Hey, Gavin, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. What's going on?
I was calling about the David Backus thing. I know you guys just said that he's out for the day.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think one of the big reasons I would have put him in was just to be in front of the net on the power play, because Johansson's not getting it done.
Well, I mean, that's one reason to put him in there. I think the power play's been fine. I'm not really worried about the power play, but I would just want his kind of toughness, his intensity, that kind of thing. Even if he does one thing out there to get the crowd into it, it might be worth it. Because, again, anybody who's playing on that fourth line is not going to get a whole lot of ice time anyway.
Yeah. I just know every time you see someone shoot on the power play, Johansson jumps.
Well, I also know that they went 2-for-2 on the power play in game 6 with Johansson as the net front guy.
Yeah. Krug was a snipe and Marchand kind of got lucky, but...
I disagree with the whole lucky thing.
Got lucky.
Well, it was the playoff, the face-off, and he shot it off the shin pads of the Toronto defenseman.
That's probably how it was designed. That's the plan, right?
I don't know about the shin pads part,
no,
but everything else
no,
was designed
every,
that
everything
way.
Everything else is what you want to do.
617-779-7937. Alex is in Scituate. Hey, Alex.
Yeah, no, to add to that call, I just think that David Backus is just the guy to set the tone for tonight. He brings leadership. He's good for one game, maybe not throughout the course of an entire series, but game 7, you need that leadership, and he goes out there, you give him one game every few days, and he can play with his hair on fire and be the leader that you need him to be. Just add to that one more point is that, you know, if the Bruins lose tonight, that's 3 out of 4 games. I don't care how competitive the opponent is. If you lose 3 out of 4 games at home, that's unacceptable for the Bruins. And I feel like the season will be a disappointment. This series will be a disappointment if they lose tonight.
Oh, but failure. Failure of a season.
It will absolutely be a failure. And to your point, you can't lose 3 out of 4 games on home ice in the first round of the playoffs when you were one of the 2 or 3 best teams in the NHL on home ice during the entire regular season.
But then it really goes into Don Sweeney's job in the offseason, because if you lose tonight, you can't bring the same team back. You can't. And I forget what the contracts are. Who cares? Like, you got to find a way to shake things up, because what's the point of bringing everybody back? Toronto's still in your division. Tampa, I would imagine, is going to bounce back. They're in your division. You can't just say, well, this was too bad. Especially as the caller points out, 3 out of 4 at home. Like, what are you doing? Especially when you were such a good home team in the regular season. That would be a disaster.
See, you bring up I think, a very interesting point, too, because when you look at the way this team has played, and this spirit's too strong a word, they are a very tight-knit group, very close, very tight-knit. One of the things Marchand said before Game 6 was, you know, we want to keep this group together. We want to, you know, we want to keep going here.
Right.
Well, to your point, then you better win tonight.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's like when, and I don't think Cassidy's in jeopardy. But the idea of, you know, when teams kind of rally around because they know the next move is the coach. In this case, the next move is not the coach, but it would be, all right, who do we have here? Is there a trade that we need to send some guys away? Do we need to break up what the core is? Because I think especially when Bergeron, Krejci, Marchand, Chara won a Stanley Cup, then went back to another Stanley Cup. If you were going to take from there on, they wouldn't make it out of the second round. That's a surprise. That's kind of an upset.
But you're probably not going to break that group up
either. Not that group, but I mean, I don't know. Every year, David Krejci, I feel like, has been on the block, or at least been in rumors about him moving
on. In this series so far, you could make an argument he's been their best offensive player.
He probably has been. Yeah, I'm not saying...
Most consistent through the six games.
But they would have their work cut out for him for other things, because the expectations, as the season went on, changed. At the beginning of the year, I don't think it was, hey, the Bruins are going to win the Cup. It was, the Bruins are a playoff team. They're in a really good division. Let's see how it goes. Well, it went pretty well. They had the second best, or tied with Calgary for the second most points in the regular season. Marchand's having an all-star season. You know, they had some of the young guys step up. Jake DeBrusk had a real nice jump to this season.
Brandon Carlo's had a great...
Carlo's been great. They've had a lot of things go their way. So if you lose in the first round, you can't possibly just say, oh, it's too bad. Just bring the same guys back next year.
I understand the question based on what's happened in this series already when the texter asks, any chance Cassidy isn't being honest and Backes is playing?
Yes, that's a good point.
I don't think there's a chance. Now, there's a difference between, you know, not being truthful about what line combinations you're going to use and flat out being dishonest about who's going to play and who isn't.
Probably unlikely.
You know, it's funny because I think one of the hallmarks of Cassidy and the way he's handled the team and the media in this town is he's pretty forthright. He generally will tell you stuff more than you expect.
For the most part.
Now, where he strayed from that was whether or not he was going to keep Pasternak with Bergeron and Marchand. And he said he was, and he didn't plan to.
But that was more of a, I'm going to try to fool Mike Babcock not
yes.
Bruins fans and Bruins media. Like, I don't think that was his goal there. But going back to David Backes, so he has played in four of the six games. Obviously, did not play in game one, where they lost, and he didn't play in game six, where they won. But you go back to game two, he played 12 minutes. They won 4-1. He had an assist and he was a +2. Then in game three, they lost. He only played 9 minutes. Game four, they won 6-4 and he played over 12 minutes. And then game five, he played less than 5 minutes in that game. They of course lost 2-1. So then he sits out, they win, and then they decide to keep that lineup going. But I don't know. I'm with the last handful of callers that we've had. I think David Backes, again, not that he's going to make a huge impact. I don't even think he would play 12 minutes, probably be less than that. But I think he could give you a little something there that maybe some of the other guys couldn't.
The other part of this, obviously, is you go back to, you know, having home ice and having the opportunity for last change and maybe getting more favorable matchups, or easier to get more favorable matchups if you're Cassidy.
Mm-hmm.
And he may be looking at this as you are, you know, who do I want the fourth line to play against? Does Backes match up? Toronto's fourth line's played really well in this series.
No, they have. They've been very balanced. And I'm not shocked by that, right? Like, their forward line's all playing pretty well. It's been their defensemen who have been much better. And I just thought going in, that was the week. That's what everybody said. That's what everybody, we had Jeff O'Neill on last hour, and that's what he thought too. Like, that is an advantage that the Bruins are going to have. And those guys have all played really well. That hasn't been a problem for them at all.
So you've got the Bruins getting ready to take on Toronto in a game 7 tonight, the Celtics getting ready to take on Milwaukee in a second round series, and the Red Sox trying to piece together a pitching staff.
Well, they got Hector Velasquez, who's like their sixth starter anyway, and now he's going to be kind of in
the
rotation.
Now the question is, who's going to pitch Saturday?
Yeah.
But we'll get past there anyway.
No, I know.
Now, here's the point, and look, you can at least ask the question at this point about the Red Sox medical staff with the Nathan Eovaldi situation, where apparently, according to multiple sources, including our own Rob Bradford of WEEI.com, He's going to undergo surgery today to take care of some loose floating objects in his elbow.
When I heard loose elbow, I almost drove off the road. And I was like, he's got a loose elbow?
Supposedly, they're also going to shave a bone to help prevent a reoccurrence, because this is the exact same thing that he had to have done last year when he's with Tampa.
And on top of, like, the Tommy John he was coming off of.
Two Tommy Johns, yeah.
The double Tommy John. I mean, in hindsight, I'll be honest. When they signed him, I was kind of swept up in it. I'm a fan like everybody else, and I said, hey, Nathan Eovaldi was so good in the playoffs. Good, you're bringing him back. $17 million a year seemed a little high, but hey, he's going to be part of the rotation going forward. I was happy with it.
Had a special elbow.
In hindsight, yeah, maybe he does too. Horrible signing. Horrible signing, Nathan Eovaldi. That is... fans became the GM for the day and said, bring back the World Series hero.
The guy that brought his teammates to tears.
Yes. Oh, he was great. And they loved
him. Los Angeles.
But they, apparently being a really well-liked in the Red Sox clubhouse is the most important thing. Because Nathan Eovaldi and Chris Sale are both bad contracts, but the rest of the team likes both of those guys so much, so they brought them both back. But Nathan Eovaldi, I mean, he has a history of being hurt.
You know, just watch him throw, and you're saying, gee, I wonder how his elbow hurts.
He's been, yeah, no, true. And he's throwing 100 plus. He's had one season of 30 or more starts.
Yep.
In his whole career. And you're bringing him back at $17 million for the next 4 years. So I guess the hope is that it's similar to last season. And he says he could be back out there in like a couple of months. But loose bodies in his right elbow. Like, are you kidding me? Loose bodies.
Now, what does that even mean?
I don't know what it means. I don't want to know what it means.
Yeah.
Like, is it like if you grabbed his elbow, could you just like pull it down like Mr. Fantastic? Like, would you?
Yeah,
just,
that's probably what they mean.
Does it snap back?
Yeah. Boing.
Or is it just like kind of droop?
I heard
that you can move it like putty.
I heard Bradfell with Pellerin on Nesson, and he said, you know, this might be the best case scenario because they're saying it might only be 4 to 6 weeks. Let me just interject here. Yeah. It's never what they say it's going to be. Ever.
4 to 6 weeks, please.
4 to 6 weeks is when he'll start throwing from flat ground. He's going to throw 12 pitches today, and tomorrow he hopes to get it up to 14.
In my experience, Dale, loose bodies in your right elbow is more than 4 to 6 weeks. It just sounds gross, doesn't it?
And again, they're going to remove the loose bodies in the elbow and shave down a bone. Now,
what are we doing to this guy? What are we doing? Can we put in like a bionic arm while we're in there? Can we do something like that? Can we get, like, Cyborg? Can we do that while we're in there?
Maybe he'll turn into Rookie of the Year and just absolute
Henry Rowengardner. Throwing gas. Talked a little trash on the base paths, too. He was really good. But this is gross. So what are they going to do with the loose bodies? What do the loose bodies look like? What are you shaving down the bone for?
I assume that means bone chips. That's why they're shaving that way. I know.
Loose bodies?
Yeah. What? Look, he's got a tennis ball in here.
I feel like he does. I bet it just snaps back. Ugh. At least it's in his throwing elbow.
Yeah, no big. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We've got a Kiefer Madness.
That's right.
An early Kiefer Madness coming up at the bottom of the hour. But first, because we are, we trend.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And
get connected with Rich Keefe on Twitter at Keefe21. Now back to more of Dale and Keefe on Sports Radio WEEI.
Kiefer Madness?
Kiefer Madness?
Yes, I'm ready for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
What now? Rack that one up for Kiefer Madness, will you?
Is he going to talk about ducks wearing clothes and stuff?
What did you say? Going to be like Kiefer Madness. He's going to be in a great buildup and then nothing.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy. Okay.
So screw you, Keith.
Yeah.
Right. Screw you.
We don't need you.
Stupid jerk.
We don't need you.
Kiefer Madness. Rich Keefe is just that guy makes you laugh.
Kiefer Madness.
I don't think this is one of the stronger segments.
We call her the Mad Paper Pine Creek.
We have a couple of folks who've checked in. The Shime Timers, as we like to call them.
Yes.
The every guy, your blue collar guys. I'm a bigger guy. Shime's got a little meat to him.
Here we go. It's a special time today, Dale. Special time. Don't adjust your radio dial.
Please, kids, don't try this at home. This is a trained professional at work in here.
It's an 11:30 Kiefer Madness on a Tuesday. That is because it is an abbreviated Dale and Keefe. We have Red Sox baseball coming up at the top of the hour. Dale and I will be a part of the pregame. I know you might have been worried about that. Good news for you. We are a part of that.
Good news.
First game of the doubleheader starts a little after 1 o'clock. Chris Sale on the mound. But Dale, do we have a story for you? You find love in all kinds of strange places. This is a story. It's got a little bit broken up. Part of the story is from Inside Edition, and then another part is from a very familiar show to Kiefer Madness.
Okay.
She's so sexy. She's a sexy darling. You are.
This is a woman.
That seems a little
sexual.
Hard for me to understand.
Yeah, it is. No, it is. It'll clear up. It's just a woman talking about something or someone that she loves.
She's in love with the game Tetris.
The game Tetris, Dale.
Gee, I wonder what attracted you to this story.
She's in love with the game Tetris. And this is actually a little story about me. I've been playing the hell out of Tetris. Not even the new one. I've been playing the old Tetris like crazy recently. It's a way to just kind of get away from it all. I need to escape. Because I have such a crazy life. So I go back and I play Tetris for a long time, so much so that if I close my eyes now, I can see all the little shapes moving. Like, I'm constantly playing Tetris.
Would you say you love Tetris?
I love it. Maybe not as much as this lady does, but I do love Tetris. It's addicting. You put on some tunes, you just zone out.
Have a little craft beer going.
Yes, and I would like you to see if anybody could beat my high score. Over 63,000, I believe.
Quick history lesson, yeah. Keith. You say you play it to kind of escape?
Escape.
So Tetris was built just for that. So all the programmers making, you know, Nintendo games and games before that made this game to distract themselves
and
focus.
It makes sense. Because you can get away from it a little while. That's what I think. Here we go.
She's in love with the game Tetris. So much that this student plans on marrying the game after graduating from college.
Huh? Seems like a good plan, though, Dale. You got to admit, if you love something or someone so much,
you have to let it go.
No, you marry it. I saw my wife and I said, I'm gonna marry this woman.
Does that count inanimate objects?
Not sure how it all works,
like,
to be honest.
If you really love the chair you're sitting on.
Because that was always such a sweet burn when you were little. It'd be like, oh, I love chocolate. Oh, yeah, you love it so much, why don't you marry it? Remember that? It was a great burn.
It was a sick burn.
Yeah, it was. But this lady's like, okay.
When you were 12.
Yeah, well, hey.
Obviously, I can't actually marry an object. There's no way I can legally marry an object.
It
is possible to have a commitment ceremony.
A commitment ceremony, though. So she gets it, at least. Like, she's not crazy.
I'm going to go out on a limb and just suggest that, based on what I've heard so far, the chances of her dating a real human being is probably fairly slim anyway.
Slimmer.
Fractal Hassan is a college student studying mathematics.
There you go.
The 20-year-old is attracted to objects.
Same.
Attract.
I'll leave that. But yes, I could understand where she's coming from here.
20-year-old is attracted to objects. Her love for monorails and iPods.
She loves monorails, Dale. Cut her some slack. And iPods.
So Tetris, monorails, and iPods.
Yeah.
Willing to commit to one.
Some people call it a sickness. Others would just say it's beauty.
I would say that she's whacked.
She's a little silly.
Let's be real. When the iPod came out, who didn't love it?
The iPod, yes. The monorail is sexual in nature. If you take a long look at a monorail sometime, think about it. Yeah.
You just play the clock. I don't want to think about it.
Started when she was 14 years old.
I would have, like, dreams about just them appearing in my mind, and I was, like, really shy around them.
She says
she was shy around monorails.
Shy around the monorail, which made it tough for Disney. Had to take the boat everywhere. Well, you couldn't take the monorail.
Maybe she saw Thomas the Train. They all have, like, faces and personalities and all that kind of thing. Maybe you kind of get, no? A little bit?
Oh,
all right, well, let's see.
She says she's tried having relationships with people, but there was never any chemistry.
You need the chemistry.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that doesn't exactly shock me.
No, but she tried it. So at least
it doesn't sound like there was any reciprocation going on.
Well, she was distracted by monorails and iPods.
She went, hey.
Hey, look at this. Whoa. And now the game Tetris. Which, again, a very addictive game.
Hassan says she also has a physical relationship with Tetris-themed objects.
Now we're talking. Now we're getting
wait, guys. Tetris-themed objects.
Yeah, square, the L shape, the little zigzag, the long piece that you always want.
Well, I don't think I would have gone with the long piece as one of my examples.
You don't think
all of a sudden we're working blue here?
I would say, let's be honest, maybe the most popular piece in Tetris, because the way you usually set it up, you're like, oh, I really need that long one, is what you might say.
Is that what she was
saying? That's what she would say.
I really need that long one?
Yeah, that's right, Dale.
Hassan says she also has a physical relationship with Tetris-themed objects like hard drives and cushions.
Huh?
Hard drives and what was that?
Pushins?
Hard drives and cushions.
Yeah, I don't know.
Pushins. You're talking about Game
Pushins.
Boy. Pushins.
Pushins, like cartridge games.
She really likes
cartridge
pushins.
Games. Yeah, pushins.
With long ones.
Jason, please. Have a little respect for this segment. Please.
Never know, dear, how much I love you.
Yeah.
All right, I can't even make fun of.
She's
I can't even make fun of this woman anymore.
I love her. I would love to meet her and play Tetris with
People
her.
People always say like, "Oh, I wish." Like when you see like Tom Brady staring at something like a football, it's like, "Oh, I wish you know my wife loved
love
me as much
something.
As Tom."
Yeah. Yeah.
Or and, the kid blowing bubbles and knocked up.
Yeah, exactly. But like, I wish my wife loved and cared about me as much as this
she
woman.
She loves Tetris.
Loves Tetris.
It's a fun game. There's a couple of different modes. You can just build them up, or you have the one where you have like the level. And that's already built up, and you have to get 25 lines.
Listen,
that's
Tetris doesn't love you back.
No, I know.
Just letting
I
you
understand.
Know, Keith.
Or satisfy any of your urges.
So the good news, Dale, is now she is on a show, a very popular show, as it relates to
really?
Kiefer Madness.
So what do you... What does he give...
Do you remember this guy,
this
Dale?
This is the ghost guy.
This is definitely the ghost guy.
How does the sex bit happen? You can still feel it. Like, it felt it was kind of... It's difficult to explain.
Like a weight.
Kind of a weight, but at the same time, weightless.
So once you go ghost, you never go back?
Pretty much, yeah.
Is that right?
It is, yes.
Even when it came up behind you and you could feel its breath on your neck, that still didn't freak you out?
Not at all.
So this guy's back, and he's able to have
him.
A sit down.
Oh, yeah,
he is excited for this.
To you, because I know, actually, I mean, we should point out that Pierre, sadly, broke. So you went on to other attractions, Braxton, the oscilloscope.
So Pierre, I believe, was her iPod, and now Braxton was a telescope. Was her telescope.
You know, at the risk of taking this way off the rails here.
Go ahead.
Do you think the whole image in her mind of the monorail pulling into the Contemporary was what pushed it over the edge?
Yes, Dale. That's exactly what, the iPod I don't really get. The monorail... I understand.
Go into the Contemporary. And,
yes.
Okay.
I got it.
And then in 2016, then the affair, this relationship you currently have, which is the Tetris cartridge, not the Game Boy that it goes into, but it is the cartridge itself.
Yes.
Isn't it?
The well, that's kind of incorrect.
Oh. She's gonna stop you right there. Like, no, that's not right.
I'm in love with the game himself and the cartridge
himself.
How do
she's
we know it's
with
him?
The game himself. I don't know how.
How
she,
do we know?
I don't know.
Well, it's the same thing like Beauty and the Beast. They all, you know, they there was like a person.
How is it like Beauty and the Beast?
Because like
Jason?
Maybe it's a guy she really likes. She like puts
Beast
them into.
Was a guy.
I understand that, and so it was like Mrs. Potts and all that. But maybe
Mrs.
There was
Potts was a woman.
What's a she? No,
it's pretty clear, actually.
So, but
Beauty and the Beast is nothing like this.
Well, you don't know. You don't know. What
I
this
do
woman
know.
Sees. She loves monorails and iPods.
Well,
so you can relate. You know this.
Don't
so I'm
spin
telling
it. Don't change the question.
No, I think she maybe like there's a person that she sees in these games.
I'm in love with the game himself, and the cartridge is a means, a vessel of presenting him.
So okay. Why?
It's a vessel.
Oh my God.
It's a vessel.
Oh my God.
So once you go ghost, you never go back.
No, that's true.
Much,
once you go Tetris,
right.
You'll never
it
go
is.
Back.
It's
yes.
a, well, it's a good game. It's a good game if nothing else.
Presenting him.
So okay. Why? Why that in particular? What is it about Tetris that you love?
Love's not something you can explain, but it's honestly part of it is that I can, you know, so clearing lines, it satisfies me and...
Clearing lines satisfies her. Let me say once again, same.
He's just really beautiful.
It's a feeling.
I find him just so attractive.
Wow.
How did you ever father a child? If
wow.
you're saying
wow.
same...
I mean, well, you can like more than one thing, Dale. I mean, there's a lot going on.
Okay.
So with this story, as you notice sometimes at Kiefer Madnesses or Mad Nye, the way they segue out of one story into another is the best part about
it's
these
jarring at times.
Oh, these different news places. This is in London again, so let's just see how they segue out of this.
See. He's just really beautiful.
It's a feeling.
I find him just so attractive.
You know how some
you've been out tanning me, Richard Madeley.
Actually, somebody wrote to me and said he did something very similar, but he put hemorrhoid cream on his face.
What? Oh, sorry, sir. What was that again?
Just
actually, somebody wrote to me and said he did something very similar, but he put hemorrhoid cream on his face.
How does that have anything to do with Tetris? What are we doing here?
I don't understand anything I've just heard.
Well, that kind of sums up most of the madness. So there you go, Dale. That is a woman who is now in a relationship with Tetris.
Probably not going to get pregnant. There's the good news.
Nope, that's definitely the best news.
What about those push-ins?
Hey, hey, hey. 617-779-7937 is the telephone. I don't know where the hell this has gone.
I feel
bad for all of
it's
us.
It's all right.
Dale and Keith, Sports Radio, WEEI.
So what does he give to you?
Well, that's kind of incorrect. I'm in love with the game himself.
He's so sexy. He's a sexy darling. You are...
hemorrhoid cream on his face.
Love's not something you can explain.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
I know we've got a couple of days until day one of the NFL draft. Thursday night is when you get your first round, and of course the Patriots have the last pick in the first round. And by the way, Andy Hart's going to join us on Friday, so we can kind of rehash what happened in round one and preview what's going to happen in round two.
Hopefully they take a guy on Thursday.
I'm going to guess that they will.
I hope so. That's something to talk about.
Just a guess anyway.
Right.
So now the question here becomes, what position? What's the position that you think they're going to have to go after?
Tight end. I want tight end in the first round. And by all accounts, if they want TJ Hockenson from Iowa, they'd have to trade way up. That's what it seems like with all the mock drafts that are out right now. So that may be a little too much. But they do have the draft capital. If they really, really like this guy, they probably could with all the picks that they have. If not,
by the way, the prognostications are all over the board. I see everything from Daniel Jones to Jawan Williams to...
Yeah, and that's if they stay at 32. My point is, for someone like that, they may have to move up for, or even Irv Smith out of Alabama. But to me, I'd be happy with a tight end. You know, good luck replacing Rob Gronkowski. That's going to be big shoes to fill, but try to take a guy in that first round. I certainly don't want a quarterback, which I know a lot of the mock drafts have Daniel Jones, or I guess yesterday I read a report that they really like Will Greer, who maybe is projected more second, third, but maybe they grab him late first or with one of their seconds. I want guys that can help the team this year. There's probably a number of positions that they could go with, but I think tight end would be my number one priority.
They have so many needs, at least as we sit here and look at the roster right now. Obviously, wide receiver.
Yes.
You don't seem to have, you know, you're not hip deep in those. Tight ends, as you point out correctly. You wonder about defensive line.
I think they could use help there for sure. You look at all the guys that they lost, and they've been okay drafting that spot. When they picked higher, they picked studs. You know, Richard Seymour, Ty Warren, Vince Wilfork. But then recently, Malcolm Brown, fine. Dominic Easley, bust. So
Isaiah Wynn, incomplete.
Well, that's on the offensive side. But yeah, like defensive side, I'm thinking they could go there. But for me, it'd be tight end. What position would you go with if they just stay at 32?
If they stay at 32, the tight end you would probably have available to you is Irv Smith Jr., right?
Yeah.
The other two are going to be gone.
They're probably going to be gone. But even just whatever position, like it doesn't even matter what player, because they'll find a guy, they'll pick a guy that is projected to go in the second round anyway.
If they pick at 32, I think they'll go with a defensive back.
Yeah, they could, because all their D-backs are getting up there. Seems like those guys are back. You know, Gilmore, both McCourties, Jonathan Jones even, Chung, they gave him an extension. So all those guys are back. So they could go there, though, for sure.
You can kind of safely guess where they won't go. I think they'd be more likely to take a quarterback at 32 than they would a wide receiver.
They've never done it. They've never taken a wide receiver in the first round. But when you look at the depth chart right now, has it ever been this barren?
No. Like, but I just don't see them going there.
I doubt it.
I doubt that they'd go running back again after they did last year.
Yeah.
They could go offensive line. I wouldn't be shocked if that happened.
Somebody had
tight end, offensive line, defensive back, defensive line. Those are the positions I could see them if they're picking at 32.
Somebody had a great stat the other day. I forget who it was. It was one of the, I don't know if it was Tom Curran or one of the Patriots beat reporters, saying that they have taken more wide receivers, or I'm sorry, they've taken more quarterbacks in the first three rounds than wide receivers going back to like Kevin O'Connell. They just haven't. And then when they have, they've missed brutally. Chad Jackson and Bethel Johnson and Aaron Dobson. Like, they've been horrible at identifying receivers. So I don't even want them to take one. I'd rather them go tight end, rather them go, you know, defensive line, linebacker even. Why not? Any of those positions would be better.
My first choice, if you're saying, okay, you're picking at 32, what's the thing you want to see them get the most? It would be tight end.
Yeah, same. That's what I'm saying.
And I'm with you on that one. That would be my first choice. I don't know that that's what they would end up doing. We'll do a lot more of this. We'll have a full show tomorrow, so we'll be able to get into this. We'll have a Game 7 to talk about.
Who's winning Game 7?
Bruins.
Yeah, I'm going with you. I don't like not playing Backus. I think he would have given you a little extra life there, and the Garden could use it, especially if they get off to a slow start. But I say they get a power play goal to get the thing rolling, and then they win 3-2.
And you're getting ready for the Columbus Blue Jackets in the second round.
Torts. We'll have all the Torts press conferences we can handle.
All the John Tortorella sound you can possibly handle, and it'll be fun. Now, if they lose,
they got to blow it up.
Be prepared to do the show on your own tomorrow.
Blow it up. That's fine. I understand.
I'm not showing up tomorrow to listen to your guff if they lose this thing.
Well, you're doing the show Friday by yourself because I'm seeing Endgame like super late on Thursday.
And you might just stay in the
theater. I might just stay there and watch it again. Just have it back.
Hang around.
Yeah.
And if you guys wanted to make some money tonight,
the
Boston Parlay, three-legger, because we got two Red Sox games and a Bruins game.
Right. Okay.
Wager 100 only to win 277.
No, I don't like it. Value. I don't like the value there. I don't like
that
at all.
And
the Velasquez start, I'm not doing that. So who knows what Sale's going to give you today? I'm out on that.
All right, Red Sox baseball is coming up next. Rich and I are going to stay right here, and we'll be part of the Herb Chambers Audi pregame show. It's coming up in just a couple of minutes. Enjoy a couple of Red Sox games and the Bruins game 7 tonight.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you for stopping by. Goodbye, goodbye. Goodbye, goodbye. Thank you for stopping by.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.